Are you a speech language pathologist or occupational therapist who is feeling the squeeze of high caseloads and limited support? Wondering if maybe private practice is the answer? Well, let's talk about it. Join me for a free training on May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will explore what it really takes to leave the schools and start your own private practice in 2024. We're talking about the ability to have a flexible schedule, choose your own clients, create your own caseload cap, and uncap your earning potential by leaving salary ladders and scales behind so that you can finally earn what you're worth. Join me for a free training on May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will explore what it really takes to leave the schools and start your own private practice in 2024. We're talking about the ability to have a flexible schedule, choose your own clients, create your own caseload cap, and uncap your earning potential by leaving salary ladders and scales behind so that you can finally earn what you're worth. Don't just dream about having better work-life balance. Make it your reality by starting your own private practice. To register, just head on over to privatepracticetraining.com right now and sign up, and I'll see you there. Megan Samuels is a pediatric speech language pathologist with a private practice in Nashville, Tennessee called Tiny Talkers. She started her private practice in order to have more flexibility, work-life balance, and time to spend with her family. In this episode, she talks about how she started offering language enrichment groups to toddlers and preschoolers in her area and then expanded this idea and began selling the curriculum to other SLPs. If you're interested in learning more about different private practice models, this is a must-listen episode, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, speech-language pathologist, business coach, and creator of the Start Your Private Practice system. And I'm on a mission to turn stuck SLPs into successful private practitioners. If you're tired of dealing with high productivity requirements, high caseload sizes, and low pay, it's time to take control of your professional, personal, and financial life and finally get the freedom, flexibility, and financial abundance that you deserve by working with private clients in your own practice. Join me here each week as I share tips, best practices, and inspirational interviews on the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. If you're a private practitioner or one in the making, you're in the right place, so let's get started. All right, so before we dive in, can you please share your name, your location, and the name of your private practice?
I'm Megan Samuel. I am in Nashville, Tennessee, and my practice is Tiny Talkers PLLC.
So I'm so excited to talk to you today because you are offering something pretty cool through your private practice. And we're going to talk about that when we get there. Talk about what your private practice looks like right now. Can you please share a little bit about your journey to private practice? Maybe either how you got into the field or at what point did you start thinking about private practice?
Yeah, so I have been an SLP for 10 years. And in grad school, I knew I picked the right field. I loved everything about it. I love working with children, and I really felt like it was the perfect mix for me. But then I started here in Nashville. My first job was in the school system. I worked for 3 years in the school system. And the first year, it was fun and exciting. I had a lot to learn, and I just really took advantage of that, learning the IEP process, all of that. But then by the second year, I was already feeling like, okay, can I do this? Can I continue this? But I actually got switched to an early childhood center within our district. They were trialing early voluntary pre-kindergarten here in Nashville, and they were working closely with Vanderbilt. And this was a model location that they were trying out. And I was chosen to be the SLP on site. And I love that. I worked there for 2 years, got to work really closely with an OT, and I just fell in love with doing co-treats, working in groups, and really just pushing into the classroom. Loved everything about it. I did some phonological awareness groups within the general education classrooms, and it was really wonderful. Then I got married and needed a change. I was working on IEPs late at night. I just couldn't keep up. I'm bringing a lot of work home. So I went into a private practice that was home-based, and we would go into either private schools or homes and do therapy there. And I loved that. I really loved it. But then I had children and I needed some more structure. So I went into a clinic-based private practice, and then COVID came and I was furloughed. I was like, you know what? I just had my second baby. I am going to take an extended leave and I will figure out what I'm going to do down the road. That's where Tiny Talkers came from. I never envisioned it turning into a full-blown practice. I took a leap of faith. I told my husband that I felt like as an SLP, I have a skill set that I felt like I could really share with parents and young children, all about language development, telling them what language development looks like, ways to incorporate it. Because I felt like when I was in the school system and in private practice, I was getting children that needed support after those critical years of development between 2, 3, and 4. And I was thinking, yeah, I could support families and parents earlier, before those preschool years. That would be amazing. Parents would have such a skill set and such a knowledge base. So from there, I posted on a mom's group on Facebook, and I just said, I'm going to offer these small group opportunities this summer. And would anyone be interested? And so much response. Yes, 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 yes. How can I sign up? How can I sign up? So that was when I really started thinking, oh, maybe I could work for myself. That's how I got here.
I love that so much, right? Well, I don't love that you are furloughed and all that, but you know, I do love that you had a variety of experiences, like as a clinician, right? And you had even worked for a couple other private practices. Is good in that then you can kind of identify what you like and what you don't like, right?
Not right.
For practice, any job, you have things you like and you don't like, right?
Right.
Also really like about you is that you made some different choices according to like different seasons of your life. And you're like, you know, now I'm married. Now I don't want to be working at all hours on right? Or right. Now I have my own children. Like I need more flexibility. And I also really like too, how you're like, you like working with parents. You like working with young kids. You saw a need in your community and you kind of went out there and put yourself out there to say, hey, and then you kept going with it when they said yes.
And it was so scary to put myself out there. It was in April of 2021 that I mentioned this to my husband. And he was like, let's give it the summer. Let's see what happens. So I gave it the summer. I just stuck that summer. I just did it in my small little part of Nashville. And then I had people reaching out to me in different pockets of Nashville being like, hey, we want in over here on our side of the town. Can you come over to our side of the town? And I was like, wow. Okay. So I guess this is what I'm doing. And it was so scary to take that leap. And I never would have said, I'm going to have my own practice one day. That was never my dream in grad school. That was never my dream post-grad until it just started occurring. And I'm so grateful to be doing it now. It just feels like a pinch me moment.
So I'm sure that our listeners are probably thinking about some logistics, right? So This is how SLPs and OTs. Like, what did your private practice look like these days? Or what did it even look like in the beginning when you first started? Like, how many kids are you doing? How many kids are in the groups? Like, that kind of thing.
Yes. So, when I created these groups, I said, simple is what I'm about. I did not want to be planning all these different activities for different groups or different children or different dynamics. I wanted something that I could put in the back of my car and have for the whole week, and then just use and change it based on the age or the dynamics of the group that day. And that's what I started doing. I just, at the beginning of the week, I would pick a book and I would pick activities to go with that book, and it would be in my trunk. And then I would use those activities with my private clients. So I wasn't pulling and planning and trying to come up with all these different activities. Because as I said, I was a mom. I was trying to keep work with work and not carry over a ton of stuff at home. So that was the planning logistics. I've said, I want this to be simple and easy. And things that I have at home already that I don't need to go out and buy a ton of materials. And so then I started doing toddler groups. So 2-year-olds, we do 4 children in a group, and it is fun. And parents are there to help us re-engage, to watch how I'm communicating with them, the way that I'm prompting them with their peers. It's really wonderful because a lot of toddler preschool parents are saying, my child just won't share. And I said, but that's okay. And I said, the important thing is that we're modeling for them the language around it. And I have seen so many light bulbs go off just with me modeling peer interventions and peer interactions like that. I'll say, I'm not ready yet, or I'm still playing. You can have it in a minute. And when parents see how I'm just like providing that language for their children to advocate in those moments, it's amazing. And parents are like, I tried that at home and it was awesome. Just showing parents how we can give that language to help them advocate has helped this grow. A lot of families say, after our time with Tiny Talkers, my child understood that they could say, I don't want to give it up yet. And they've told their friends. And by word of mouth, it's just really grown. And we've been doing it for 2.5 years. In the preschool group, we have a max of 5 children. And that we can kind of tie in a little more like vocabulary or some pre-literacy things when we're doing our reading, or antonyms, synonyms, just kind of some of that fun early childhood language stuff. But yeah, that's kind of the setup. And then we do groups Monday through Thursday morning. It's a chunk of time in the mornings, and then we have private clients all throughout the rest of the week. We go into some preschools and we provide these enrichment opportunities as well, so that preschools can, if there's a child that's in their school and they're thinking, I think they might need just a little bit more support, but not necessarily a full evaluation, this is a great opportunity for them to get some small group support from a professional without going through that whole evaluation process. So yeah, that's kind of what the practice looks like and what my whole thought process was behind it.
Oh my gosh. I love that so much. It's funny. I bet you some people are listening to this being like, oh my gosh, that's what I want to do, right? Sounds fantastic. And there might be some other people who are like, groups, like, God, again, right?
Exactly.
But that's one of the beauties of private practice, right? Is you can think about, well, what do you love to do? Like, what lights you up, right?
Yeah.
And what are also people looking for, right? Like, I'm a parent, and even though I'm an SLP, I'm an adult-focused SLP.
So right.
And like my kids were like starting to talk and like everything else. Like I also felt like I didn't know how to model language quite as easily as my pediatric SLP peers would. Right. And so I would have loved to have been part of a group like this. And so I can imagine that parents who, let's say, are tech people or in sales or something, like they would love to have this opportunity to have all of this modeled for them.
Yes. And we've had some SLPs bring their children. And that is really just amazing. I mean, that speaks for itself. It's really neat for us to have SLPs be like, I see the worth in this and I want my child to be included. That's happened here for us and it's awesome.
I love that. Now, are you doing all of this by yourself or do you have people working for you now?
So I have a couple of contractors that work with me. And Fridays, I am home doing all the admin stuff. So that's what that's what I'm doing home today. We split up our groups and we split up our clients. So I'm definitely not on my own. It would not be possible to be doing this on my own. It's made possible by them for sure.
I love hearing how you've grown to like different parts of the city and like, because also just logistics, like I know Nashville's a decent size, right? Like I've had other people on the show who have also offered different things who live in even bigger cities, like let's say Houston. Right. Then they're like, well, I definitely don't want to travel to this area ever. And so, yeah, that's what they do is they hire people who live in that area. They don't want to go to the other area. Right.
Yeah.
Makes it easier for the workers, too.
Right. The way that we schedule is we schedule the groups and then the clients that are in that area of town are right after those groups. So you're not driving from one part of town for a group to another part of town for a client. And that I think that's important too. And I think what this has shown me is that there is so much room. When I picked, just give this a try, I was like, toddlers and preschoolers, I want to be done at the end of the day to pick up my children from school. And toddlers and preschoolers, I'm able to see them and serve them during the school day because either they're at a preschool or they're home with a nanny or mom and dad. I can have access to them instead of working those after school hours that just don't fit my season of life right now. And that's been an amazing thing too, because a couple of my contractors were looking for the same thing. They were just looking for something so they could see some clients during the day while their children are in school, but no after school hours. So the way that my practice is set up is to support other SLPs that are looking for the same sort of flexibility and schedule. And that's been really fun for me because I'm like, it's possible.
I love that you're like, there's so many wins for so many different people here, right? There's mm-hmm. a win for you as the business owner, but also someone who's, this is your baby, right? This is mm-hmm. kind of like baby, right? Yeah. It's a win for the parents. It's a win for the kids. It's a win for the contractors working for you. Like probably a win for a couple other people I'm not even thinking of, but like,
yeah. So all directors that are looking for this extra opportunity. And some of the directors have even said to us, it's really great. We can refer a child to just join this group. And then if you're seeing more concerns, then you can help us have these conversations with parents, which is, it's different than going in and doing screening. When I'm seeing children across a 12-week semester at a school, I'm creating a relationship with that child and with that family. So if there are some concerns, then I can have a conversation after already having that relationship. And I've seen that that can make a big difference for parents. First is we've gone in and done some screenings at preschools as well. But I find that to be a little bit different from parents when they're getting kind of a referral from someone that they haven't met or only saw their child for a few minutes. When we're referring from our groups, we love your child, we love you, and we are making this referral because we know you and we hope that you trust us. And it's been a really awesome dynamic to just see how the groups can support the referral process too.
And you're right, it is a value add for the preschool or daycare to mm-hmm. have a relationship with you and your company, right?
That right.
About when my kids were in preschool, I don't think we signed them up for this, but there was like an optional like Chinese classes that they could
mm-hmm.
do. It was optional like soccer or like something like that, right? And so right. it's like, wow, like anyone could do that, right? Like you could mm-hmm. offer the services in that same way. And some people will sign up and some people won't. But I
right.
like how you're helping bridge the gap between like, it's relationship focused, right? You're,
right.
you're
absolutely
relationships with the daycare directors or preschool directors or whatever, but also mm-hmm. the too. Very smart and also just kind too.
Yeah. And just it has filled my cup as an SLP. It makes me feel like I am truly making a difference. And I've found a little niche that needed to be filled. So yeah, it's really been awesome.
Yeah, you're filling a void for the community, right? And the kids, mm-hmm. but also mm-hmm. for yourself. That's really why people go into private practice is
absolutely
to do that, right? Because people mm-hmm. are getting burned out. They're realizing that they're largely underpaid and that they're yeah. arguing IEP, writing documentation stuff at nighttime, and that's taking away from their family. And people yes. just aren't willing to do that anymore after COVID.
Yeah. When I was furloughed and then I took my extended leave, I was thinking, okay, I need to find a different role, a different career opportunity, because I said, I just need something simple where I can work 9 to 2 so I can drop my kids off at school and I can pick them up. And I was like this close from not even taking this leave or putting myself out there or using my degree in the way that I am. And that I feel so grateful that I'm on the path that I'm on. You got to make the choice to put yourself out there and make a change. And I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad too, because it sounds like, were you thinking about leaving the profession?
It was, because I just didn't think there was anywhere that I could work the way that I needed to work for my family and for myself. I knew I could go back to the school system, but I could be placed in a school that was clear across town, which meant I would have to leave before my kids were even up, maybe. And then they would need to go to aftercare because I would be working the school contract hours, so I wouldn't be able to get there. And then I was thinking private practice, but someone else's private practice. But I was like, typically, they have expectations of meeting certain productivity. So I just didn't think there was any opportunity to work what I needed until I did it myself. And so I'm providing that to other SLPs too. I'm trying to kind of like give back, I guess, and allow them the freedom that I was looking for, because it's so easy to feel burned out and feel like you want to do something else. The world needs us. The world needs SLPs.
Yes, totally. Something I say all the time is, if you can't find the job that you want, create it. That's exactly what you did.
Hi there, Jenna Castor-Casbon here, and I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests, and it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode.
Now, one of the things that we talked a little bit about before we started recording, probably some people are listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, this kind of sounds like the best thing I've ever heard of, but like, how would I even do this, right? So yeah. Can you share a little bit about like how else you're helping SLPs get started with this specific type of model?
This year, in about March, I had a couple of SLPs reach out to me. They kind of, my practice Instagram, it's heavily focused on group fun and shows a lot of the fun we're having and the pros of groups and all of that. And I've had a few SLPs, some that I've never met before, some that I went to grad school with, some that were a friend of a friend, being like, hey, I would love to do this, but I do not have the time to create plans or figure out everything that you've figured out. Is there a way that you would be willing to help? And that really got my wheels turning, and I had never even considered that. I have created what worked for me, but never had considered like this could work for others. And so I worked really hard to get it all up and running. And I am currently selling the curriculum that I created, also the parent handouts that go with it. So part of our groups is we send, after every group, we send home a 2-page parent handout to parents. And it tells them all about what we did during group, the why, and ways that they can continue working on it at home. And I have now been offering that to other SLPs. They can purchase their curriculum and the handouts, and they can sign up for some coaching if they want some help with some logistics. So how did you go about doing signups? How did you plan your groups around your clients? How did you have conversations about referrals? All of that sort of stuff to kind of help make this possible for other SLPs and other communities.
And where can people find out more about that?
Yes. So I have my practice Instagram is Tiny Talkers Nashville. And then I also have a group curriculum Instagram. It's TT Group Curriculum. And then the curriculum website is tinytalkersgroupcurriculum.com. And everything listed on there. There's some testimonials. This summer, someone implemented group She has been working in the schools full time. She implemented groups just this summer for fun and was able to go back in the fall to only working part-time in the schools because the groups had helped her get her name out and get enough momentum to get her practice up and going. So yeah, that was a big win. That felt really awesome for her. And being a part of that was really cool.
Yeah. Well, doing this, I mean, this is kind of what I do too, right? Is like, there's only so much impact you can have in your local area.
Of course.
There's
yes.
only so many kids that you can see like in the yeah. natural area, right?
Right.
But you can, by doing this approach, like you can help kids all over the country, like, but maybe yes. world too, as
yeah.
well as helping like your peers be able mm-hmm. to do this, right?
Yes. You know how much like a planning or putting a parent handout together can, how much time that stuff can take. And it really did take a lot of my free time when I was creating this. And so there's 36 lessons within the curriculum. The way we split it up is we do a 4-week winter semester, a 12-week spring semester, 8 weeks in the summer, and 12 weeks in the fall. So that's 36 lessons. And then 72 pages of parent handouts are included. And so it really just takes all that mental space away from planning and creating those handouts for SLPs, which gives them their time and energy and life back.
Well, yeah. I mean, like SLPs like hate to reinvent the wheel.
Yes.
And we're like really good at it.
Yes. It's so true. And funny to me because like when I created this, I am in no way saying the plans that I created are the only way to make groups happen. I know that SLPs are brilliant and creative and that SLPs across the country could create this. But what I am saying is I have spent the past 2.5 years creating it and putting this all together so you don't have to, so that you can focus on your family, you can focus on your clients, you can focus on your business. All of that paperwork planning stuff is done already, like you said. So then they don't have to reinvent the wheel.
This is so smart, right? And again, it's allowed you to increase your impact, but also your income, which I also mm-hmm. really, really like.
Yes.
And I love that you have this Instagram presence and people are finding out about you that way. And I know that some people are going to be listening to this and be like, oh my gosh, I have to talk to her. Like, this sounds exactly like what I want or need, either in terms of like people being energized about groups,
energized
about working with parents, with young kids, whatever, but also just like the hours that you're working. I think that's very attractive to a lot of parents, right? Like, people want to be able to work the hours that their kids are in school so that they can take them to school and drop them off.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think as a field, like, I don't want to stereotype SLPs, but I think as a field, when we go into a helping profession, like being an SLP, we do want to be present, whether that's a family or whether that's friends in our lives, or we don't want to be working from 9 till 6 and then 6:30 rolls around, but everyone's already either at dinner and you're missing dinner with everybody, or your kids, you've missed after school hours with your kids. Whoever those important people are in your life, we tend to be people as SLPs. And so I think that trying to find the balance, I think that's what everyone's looking for. How can I be more present in my personal life? And I feel really lucky to have found that and to have created that.
And I'm really excited for you and proud of you for just going for it, right? For seeing a need for yourself, seeing a need for others, like locally, right? The kids and whatnot, but then feeling the need for the schools and now feeling the need for other therapists in terms of either working for you or being able to purchase your curriculum. I think that it's awesome what you've done and just keep going. My last question is kind of like, what's next for you? Like, what do you see the next 6 months to a year for your practice?
I don't really know the answer. I have not seen any of this coming. I make decisions pretty much in the moment of like, oh, we're going to give this a shot. We're going to see where it goes. And I feel really lucky. I've had a lot of people surrounding me that are supporting me, because if I have an idea, I have a really great group of people being like, yes, this is awesome. give it a shot. And I feel like I've never had an entrepreneurial spirit. But through this, I keep thinking of new ideas and new awesome things to do. And they just kind of pop up and then I give it a go and see what happens. So honestly, as an SLP, usually we're huge planners, but I can't say that I have a plan. I'm just kind of like rolling with it and seeing what opportunities kind of come up. So
I love that too, because you're right. There is a lot of times SLPs put pressure on themselves to have all of these plans, right?
Right, right.
The whole business has like happened kind of organically. And I love that you're like feeling like that's working for you. So why change it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because kind of these do come up. And I think we should all really trust our guts sometimes rather than trusting like really formal plans.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
To say like, no, this feels good or this doesn't feel good. And like,
yes,
what I want to do in this like season of my life.
And I think I've tried some things that I've stopped. So this semester, I had a family reach out to me and be like, hey, we have a new baby. We would love to try a baby class. So I said, all right, let's give it a shot. And it's just not for me. I gave it a shot. I was like, I know I can do this, but as I'm doing it, I'm not loving it as much as I love toddlers and preschoolers. And so that's just kind of been my mindset. I'm like, I am willing to try anything that a parent is like, hey, how about this? Or another SLP is like, hey, how about this? Like selling the curriculum. I'm willing to try. But if it doesn't work out, that is okay. This baby class is one of those things.
That's smart too. Like as business owners, you have to kind of think like, okay, you can only do so much, right? And
yes,
so a lot of times people do try to like do all of the things. And listen, everyone, I've been guilty of this too, but mm-hmm. you also have to like think about what you like and what energizes you. And even if something is like potentially a good opportunity for the business,
right,
if you don't enjoy it or
not
profitable, or if it's taking too much time or mm-hmm. like whatever else, you're actually better cutting it than continuing with it, even if like you could make money from it or parents like would enjoy it.
Right.
If it's not the right decision for you or your company, then it's not right to do.
I could not agree more. I could not agree more. We cannot do it all. As much as we sometimes try, I definitely am with you. I've been there. But I think I'm kind of learning when to say no and when to say yes. And that it's okay to say no if it doesn't, like you said, serve you and serve your business the way you need it to.
You're such a breath of fresh air. I
Thanks.
Love that you've done this and that you're doing this. And I just think it's the coolest thing, right? Like one of the main reasons why I do this podcast, and listeners, you all know this, is to introduce you to lots of different types of practices and help mm-hmm. everyone realize that there's no one way to have a private practice. So what Megan's practice looks like is probably going to be different than what yours looks like. But if there's anything that you heard mm-hmm. or talked about that you're like, oh my gosh, like that's really cool, then reach out, right? Go look at her website, look at her Instagram, and maybe send her a DM or whatever, because this is a really cool way to do it. So can you remind everybody one more time where they can find you online?
Yes. Instagram, you can find me at Tiny Talkers Nashville or TT Group Curriculum. I have two Instagram handles. And then the group curriculum website is tinytalkersgroupcurriculum.com. And I also just have to say, when I did this, I was thinking, is this okay? Like, is it okay that I'm not doing just one-on-one therapy? Like, I remember questioning that in my head. I'm like, am I allowed to be doing something outside of one-on-one therapy? So I love that you get all of us out there for other SLPs and OTs to hear about how we're doing things, to let them know that it is okay. It is okay to do things differently and to think outside the box. And I just feel like that's so important to our field so that we don't get burned out and we keep going. And I think that what you're doing is so important because, like I said, I had my own doubts of, is this okay? Am I allowed to be doing this? So thanks for what you're doing for our field, because it matters.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you so much for saying that. Yeah, I do want people to see that there's lots of ways to do this, and what works for one person doesn't work for another person or whatever. I like what you said about, is this okay to do something not just one-on-one therapy? Because there's a lot of people who maybe even are burned out on one-to-one therapy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, think of like another emerging style of practice that I was unfamiliar with until I had a couple of guests is like nature-based therapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That before, if we're being totally honest, right?
Of course.
There's people who have buses, right? There's people mm-hmm. who do hypnotherapy. There's mm-hmm. so many different ways that you can do therapy. And you just have to think like, what is your clinical passion? And what is a schedule that works for you? And what are the finances that you have to make for yourself mm-hmm. or your family? And then find a way to merge all of those together. And when you do, it is that pinch me moment that you talked about in the mm-hmm. beginning.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, being burned out from one-on-one therapy, one of my contractors said having the split dynamics of groups and one-on-one therapy has rejuvenated my love for the field. And I really feel that too. When we're in groups, we're using a whole different skill set. It's just a completely different dynamic than one-on-one therapy. And to be able to do both things and kind of morph into two different SLPs in the same job, in the same role, it's really helped just, and hearing one of my SLPs say that, it just really helps prove that so many of us are looking for just something different. So
love it. Well, congratulations on success and everything. And thank you for sharing our story with our listeners.
Thanks so much for having me. It was tons of fun.
Okay. Don't you just love Megan? I love how she noticed a need for language enrichment groups in her area. And then she noticed a need again for therapists who wanted to be able to do that same thing. So she turned her therapy model into a curriculum to help other SLPs. She is a perfect example of someone who took a leap of faith to make it all happen for herself and for others. If you would like to learn more about our programs and how we support SLPs and OTs just like Megan when it comes to starting and growing private practices, please visit independentclinician.com. As always, thank you for listening, and please tune in next week for another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. Till then.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm @independentclinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.